Chapter 6. But live or die, win or lose, what do they get? English Glory is too genteel to meddle with those humble fellows. She does not condescend to ask the names of the poor devils whom she kills in her service. Why was not every private man's name written upon the stones in Waterloo Church as well as every officer's? £500 to the stone cutters would have served to carve the whole catalogue, and paid the poor compliment of recognition to men who died in doing their duty. If the officers deserved a stone, the men did. But come, let us away, and drop a tear over the Marquis of Anglesea's leg. As for Waterloo, has it not been talked of enough after dinner? Here are some oats that were plucked before Haugumont, where grow not only oats, but flourishing crops of grape shot, bayonets, and Legion of Honor crosses, in amazing profusion. Well, though I made a vow not to talk about Waterloo either here after dinner, there is one little secret admission that one must make after seeing it. Let an Englishman go and see that field, and he never forgets it. The sight is an event in his life. And, though it has been seen by millions of peaceable gents grocers from Bond Street, meek attorneys from Chancery Lane, and timid tailors from Piccadilly, I will wager that there is not one of them but feels a glow as he looks at the place, and remembers that he too is an Englishman. It is a wrong, egotistical, savage, unchristian feeling, and that's the truth of it. A man of peace has no right to be dazzled by that red-coated glory, and to intoxicate his vanity with those remembrances of carnage and triumph. The same sentence which tells us that on earth there ought to be peace and goodwill amongst men, tells us to whom glory belongs. End of Project Gutenberg's a text of little travels and roadside sketches. Lars by Gutenberg edition.